The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
It's really a privilege to be here. I'm a little out-of-town community, it's beautiful. Hamish, I really wish you people a lot of hatzlocha, and Rabbi Weinberg and the whole shul, the whole kehila, I guess it is, and should go mechayel el choyel. I really think it's a beautiful thing, and I'm sure many more people are continuing to move in, and with what you have going here under such rabbinic leadership and with such enthusiasm, I'm sure that you're going to be matzliach in everything you do. Parenting. We want to be matzliach in that too. And that's not so simple. I first want to present my credentials. I think that my only right to speak about this topic is all the mistakes I've made over many years of parenting. And I think if we're smart enough, which I'm not sure I am, to learn from our mistakes, then maybe by the last kid we could get it right. It's not an easy task, and we all make mistakes, and it's really hard to know what to do, but it's much harder to do what you know. See, we all know, basically. I mean, we'd be great advisors for other people's parents. In fact, some wise guy once suggested that it would be a good idea if everybody raises everyone else's children. it's the negiyas, it's the passion, it's the emotion, it's the blinders that we have, both positive and negative, all coming from positive, because of the love we have for our children. But we can't see clearly sometimes. And my youngest, the one that I'm supposed to have been able to do right, when he doesn't like the way I'm handling something, so he always says to me, "Wait a second. What if somebody from Inwood would call you and ask a question about how to deal with your kid? How come you'd know what to answer them? And for your own kid, you just can't seem to ever get it straight." That's what we deal with. So I guess the best that we could hope from any information or any guidance that we glean in terms of parenting would be to take the information and try to review it. I guess in the yeshiva world, we call it learning musar. Musa b'espailus, you take the chokhmah that you know and you internalize it emotionally so that when push comes to shove and the nerves are frayed and everything seems to be unraveling and coming apart at the seams and you wish you could just jump off the roof and forget about the whole thing, that we still remain with the peace of mind and the presence of conscience to figure out the right thing to say, with the right smile, with the right chizuk, with the... Not easy. But that's basically, I think, what we have to do. So hopefully, maybe this evening can help in a small way. I think what was suggested as a format would be just to say a few words, and then maybe to open up for some discussion. I believe that the most critical element of the chinuch for our children is to raise happy children. I think if we can raise happy children, everything will work out. They're not going anyplace. They're not going to run away. They'll want to be at home. They'll want to be with us. They'll want to talk to us. If we are the source of, or one of the main sources of their happiness, then everything falls into place. And I have a favorite discussion which I often repeat about happiness. We have a world that's focused on the pursuit of happiness, besides the guarantee that's in the Bill of Rights. But we're focused on the pursuit of happiness. Workshops, books, lectures, everything. And yet, it pretty much seems to be that we don't have a very happy society. If the suicide rates and the drug and substance abuse rates and the rates that mental health professionals can charge, for very little, if they indicate anything, I hope there's nobody here in the audience that is offended, but if they indicate anything, they indicate that we're not a very happy society. So happiness is being pursued all over the place, and the success rate doesn't seem to be so great. What's going on? So it occurred to me a number of years ago, there's a very simple reason for all this. We don't know what happiness is. If we don't know what we're looking for, we'll never find it. You can stumble on it and you won't even recognize it. I'd like to share with you a definition of happiness, which I think can be a foundation of positive, successful parenting. And that is, you know, David HaMelech said, Achas shu'alti me'es Hashem oiso avakesh. Shivti bebeis Hashem. He wanted one thing, to sit bebeis Hashem. What did he say about one who sits bebeis Hashem? Ashrei yoshvei beisecho. Happy. That's Osha. Osha, spelt with an aleph, means happy. That's fortunate. Happy is the one who sits bebeis Hashem. We know in Loshon HaKodesh that the shoresh of the word describes the essence of the concept. It's not just an arbitrary word that they call a table, and a chair. Osher is a concept. The concept is yishur, validation. Happiness is about feeling good about yourself. If we can create the environment, both within our home and by what we orchestrate around our children outside of the home, their school and their friends and their community and so forth, an environment which enables our children to feel validated, to feel good about themselves, we'll have happy children. And happy children are not going anyplace. They're going to be where we want, where we are. They're going to follow the teachings we teach them, the inspiration we give them, the Messiah that we pass on to them. It's a surefire situation. So this is at least the definition, I believe, of real happiness. It's about validation. It's about feeling good about yourself. Now, how do we do that? What's involved in the process? Well, I think the first thing we have to realize is the distinction between happiness and pleasure. We have to be able to, from the earliest ages, communicate that to our children. Pleasure is really, believe it or not, I'm sorry to say to you, if you don't agree with it or you're not pleased with it, is the antithesis of happiness. Because happiness is about feeling good about myself. Pleasure is something that I take in from the outside in order to compensate for the fact that I don't feel good about myself. And anyone who has trouble in the middle of the night passing by the refrigerator or passing by the bar or whatever else we might be doing understands what I mean. That's it. And all the pleasures, in a sense, disenfranchise us from the goal of happiness, because I need that, I need that, I need this, I need this, I need everything in order to be happy. That means I'm nothing. I'm trash. I need to take in from the outside in order to be happy. What happiness is I'm feeling good about myself. Pleasure is substitute for happiness, and it detracts from the happiness because it sends the message that I need all these external things to be taken in from the outside to feel good. And it's not even good about myself. It's just temporarily forget about how bad I feel about myself. So we really have to create an environment where we can get our children to feel validated. Now, parents are very critical, I believe, in this area of validating their children, but they're not the whole story. Critical, and that's really a word I didn't mean to use, there's one thing that we as parents, we're in a unique position. On the one hand, we're limited in the positive validation that we can give them, because they know that my mother loves me. Like, what else is new? It's almost like saying my grandmother loves me. You know, like, of course, they're programmed. It's genetic. That's what they get paid for. You know, this is what it is. So it doesn't have that power of, oh, they love me. You know, the Sepura defines love as sheyismach ha'oyhev b'malas ha'ne'av. It's rejoicing in someone's qualities. So that makes me feel good about myself. I'm validated. My parent loves me, but okay, that's what they're supposed to do. Besides the fact that we live in a society, and please forgive me if it hurts, that the vast majority of children today are not so sure how much their parents love them. It's not like the previous generation, where two generations back, where we would swear that our parents lived for their children. Kids don't believe that today. They're not sure. Maybe it's because we're too busy. Maybe it's because we're always on the cell phone. Maybe because it's with this, with that. I don't know what it is. But kids are not sure about how much their parents love them today. So it's very important to be aware of that and to make sure that they know. However, the maximum of validation that can come from parental love is, okay, they love me. I must be worth something, because otherwise, it, you know, we ask, we as parents sometimes, you know, well, they complain about their children, so you say, do you like your children? So they say, what are you talking about? I love my children. Yeah, but do you like them? I say, I don't know, I'm not so sure. Or some say, outright, no, I don't. So there's a lot of issues there that have to be. We can, to a certain extent, make our kids feel good about themselves and make them feel happy and validate them by the love that we show them. More so by the respect that we give them. And this is not a popular topic, and I do not mean to suggest that we should stand up every time our three-year-old walks into the room. That's not the attitude. However, they do need respect. Their space has to be respected. Their feelings have to be respected. Their thoughts have to be respected. Their opinions should be solicited and respected from the earliest age. And this gives a sense of validation. They begin to feel good about themselves because they're important. They're involved. Their opinion means something. Someone, a very important adult in their lives, is interested in what they have to say and how they feel and the attitudes and the ideas that they have. Does wonders. It's a very, very powerful thing. However, there is a power that parents have that nobody else has. And that's the power to make our kids feel bad about themselves. Putting them down, an insult, even a criticism which isn't said in the most positive, indirect, almost removed from the individual person completely way, can devastate a kid. And if you want it, know what the greatest proof is? Rashi brings at the beginning of Parshas Dvorim that Yaakov Avinu apologized to Reuven for not being mochiach him earlier on in his life until he was on his deathbed for the maisa that he did over there. He made a mistake with the whatever. So Rashi says, Yaakov said, he says, I wasn't mochiach you because I was afraid. Had I been mochiach you before, I guess on the deathbed, it's easier, you know, he's not going to see him anymore. Maybe it's like last will and testament, he has to say something. But I was afraid, had I reprimanded you before, you would leave me, lidobek be'es of ochi. Yaakov was afraid that Reuven the Tzaddik, who had done tshuva already for his mistake, would, if his father would be mochiach him in his lifetime, and is sure his father could have been mochiach him as gently as Moshe Rabbeinu was, and that's where they learn it from in Parshas Dvorim, and he was afraid that he might leave him to do what? To join his uncle Esav, of all people. This is the negative, the power, the unraveling power, the disenfranchising power, the destructive power that criticism has. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't teach, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't educate, and it doesn't mean we can't tell our kids right from wrong, but we have to be very, very careful. Allowing our kids to feel good about themselves and making sure that we never do anything to put them down and to make them feel bad about themselves is probably the singular most critical ingredient in assuring that they grow the way we want them to do, that they follow in the right path, and that they have a life that's really full and fulfilled and truly, truly happy. I think that giving them opportunities to succeed is very important. I think that being attuned to their weaknesses is also very important. Not to remind them about it, not to constantly point it out, not to bemoan the fact and express your sadness in front of them, but rather to discover ways around it so that they don't have to feel bad about themselves, so that they can be elevated, so that they can take... In fact, oftentimes, if dealt with properly, the problems that they have are challenges and stepping stones to bring them to higher levels than they ever would have achieved. And we see so many people that because they had difficulty and they work beyond it, and they work about it, they grow from it, they rise to levels that they never could have achieved before. But we have to be very attuned to that, to giving them constant opportunities and help that they need to succeed. I think the good news is that we no longer live in a world where most people are embarrassed to get help for a child with a problem. It used to be the time where never. It's a shanda. You don't want to admit. You go to a psychologist, you go to a social worker, you go to an evaluation, nothing, you know. A tutor was a shanda. Like, my kid's a genius. Well, what's going on? Today, I think, Baruch Hashem, the world has come full circle, and it's almost fashionable to have a therapist, a tutor, a life coach, all these things that, you know, in fact, it's a sign of wealth and accomplishment, you know, that you could afford all of these things. So, but it's very important, but we have to take advantage of those things. They have to find, or we have to find for them, ways of feeling good about themselves. Now, they know how we feel about them. By the way, it's a machlekes, the Goyin and the Rabbeinu Yoina. I believe it's according to the Goyin Shita that the Indian, the posuk in Mishlei, kemayim haponim el ponim kein lev odom el odom, that human emotions are communicated, the way I feel about you is communicated just from heart to heart. It seems that the Goyin says that even without any indication, it's a mystical thing. Rabbeinu Yoina, I think, says it's more because when you speak, you indicate it, you know, you show. Oh, you're so bright, you're so wonderful, you're so smart, I'm so, you know, you see the, you know. But the Goyin says it's just communicated mystically from the heart. I believe that our children know what we think about them. And we have to be very, very careful. We can elevate them and empower them just by believing in them. I'll never forget, there was a young man who was probably in the early days of our Priority One high school, who was one of the, I can't say the biggest, but one of the first big challenges that I can remember. Super challenge, really big. It was a very, very chosh of a family. Yichus, descendant of the Chassam Sofer, you know, like real chosh of a everything. But he was, that was such a challenge. And Bekitzer, so he after about 6 months, he started turning around. Today, Baruch Hashem, he's doing very well. But he started turning around, and I asked him, I said, what happened? And he said to me, he says, you did it. So I said, I did it. I didn't do anything. I barely talked to you, and I didn't have much time to talk to me.